This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Label Clothing Company. They have been a huge supporter of mine for many years now. And anytime you see me wearing a dress shirt or a suit, it is from them. Everything is custom made. And anyone who knows me knows I hate wearing suits and I hate wearing dress shirts. I not only look dapper, but the clothes feel great and wear really well. So anyone in the need of a custom suit, definitely hit them up. You can find them online at label.co. What is up, everybody? Anthony Vasquez here. Today, I'm joined by Lauren Grunstein of Restolo Jewelers, and I'm super excited to bring this to you. We get into the buying process of engagement rings and more so how she has brought her PR background into the Restolo company, and they do some really cool things, including giving the clients who buy engagement rings from them a free rental for their wedding, which I think is a stellar marketing program that they have implemented. And I love when companies think outside the box and are able to bring a higher value to the clients. I think that is inherently the way you create legacy clients. So without further ado, I bring you my new friend, Lauren, and I'm super excited to share this with you. Thank you so much. What is up, everybody? I am joined today by Lauren from Restolo.
Hello.
And super excited to have this conversation. And excuse my dog, he's jumping on my lap. I think it's really in the wedding industry, I think the thing with the most mystery and intrigue is the diamond business, you know, and I think it's the one thing, it's one of the largest purchases, at least an engagement ring that a man will ever make.
Absolutely.
But it's also, you know, in a process that most people, it's not like buying a car where you've been doing it your whole life. It's
right.
Something that you jump into one day and you're like, oh.
Kind of blindly, knowing,
yeah.
Especially for men, knowing nothing about diamonds.
And you're spending, you know, potentially, I always forget what it is. It's supposed to be like, what, 40 times 1 month salary?
Yeah. I think it's usually like 3 months salary,
but I think that's
like an old school,
way of doing it.
I don't know if people are thinking about diamonds like that anymore, but
Maybe. So, you know, I know it's a massive investment and it's something that most guys get into and they have no idea what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I know, some of my clients who had mentioned your company that I thought was cool is you guys also provide rentals for day of if the ring is purchased there.
We do.
So a lot of guys probably don't think that far in advance.
And the guys aren't really thinking about their wife's wedding jewelry, maybe
sure.
The ring, but it's the women who hear about that little promo that we have going on that buy an engagement ring or a diamond wedding band with us, you get a free rental for your wedding. And then it's like, oh, no brainer. Like they have great quality pieces and hopefully they like us and they want to get to know us. And then they get something incredible to wear for their wedding.
Cool. So before we jump fully into it, can you just give us a brief synopsis, who you are, what you do?
So I'm Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Restolo Fine Jewelry. We are first and foremost a fine jewelry company. The background of the company, it launched about 4 years ago. The founders have been in the wholesale business. They're both fourth generation family diamond. So they know everything about the industry and they're in their 30s and they started doing kind of favors for friends. So an engagement ring here, an engagement ring there, then the next round of referrals started coming in and they decided to, you know, partner together and create Restolo. And they had the concept for the diamond rentals. So we know the fashion industry is kind of turning into a rental industry with the explosion of Rent the Runway.
Sure.
And obviously diamonds, everyone loves them, but they're not accessible to everyone.
Sure.
So this gives clients an opportunity to experience our most fine, amazing 24 karat plus pieces for a fraction of the price, sometimes even less than costume jewelry. So that's what we do. That's who we are. And we are growing constantly and meeting new people and getting more involved in the wedding industry. And it's been amazing.
And then your own personal background?
Sure. So my background is PR, most recently fashion and beauty PR. So I heard about Restolo through a friend of mine and got connected with the founders and they brought me on because they wanted someone who could do sales and who was eager to learn the industry. And I've always loved diamonds. I get that from my mom. And I know fashion and, you know, PR and marketing.
Cool.
So it was a good combo.
Where were you prior to taking your job at Restolo?
I was at a company called Style House. It's a boutique PR agency.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So obviously you're bringing more than just selling diamonds now is obviously.
I try.
You're sitting here, so right, yeah.
I try. So I run social media. Yeah. We are starting to do some more events in the New York area. We just had an awesome shopping event last night at Pinko on the Upper East Side. We gave some money back to Make-A-Wish, which felt really nice. Actually, one of my first projects, I was in touch with the organization, and we helped outfit a girl who was going through her last round of chemo treatments. We outfitted her for the Emmys and gave her like the most beautiful earrings and bracelet. And she walked the red carpet so feeling cool. And looking like $1 million. So, nice. You know, this industry is just so much fun and all different levels.
Cool. So educate us a little bit, right? So
okay,
I'm a guy.
Where should we begin?
Since we're in the wedding business, let's talk engagement rings to start.
All right, we'll start there. So I can kind of walk you through the process of what.
So I'm pretend I'm a guy. Yeah, I mean.
Tell me what you're looking for.
I've done it once.
Okay.
So I am familiar with it. But that being said, I had a friend who was in the business, and so the process was a lot easier.
Okay, it's always good to know someone.
It was a seamless process in that sense. So obviously someone comes in, and I thought the interesting part is you come in with a specific number. I think most men go into it and go, I want to spend X.
Yes, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because if you come in saying, I have no idea what I should spend and have no expectations, there could be some sticker shock. It can get very overwhelming. But like if you tell us you want to spend $7,000 or $70,000, that's our starting point. And that's like literally the first question we ask. Okay. What is your budget? And then from there, we kind of move on to, have you spoken to your girlfriend? Do you have an idea of what she wants? Are we thinking round? Are we thinking fancy shapes? And then we'll start pulling together some stones according to your budget. A client then will come in and we'll sit and look at the diamonds together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how the process starts. So what should a man be prepared? And how much over budget should you be prepared to go? Because I think that's definitely an interesting point is that when you start looking at rings, mm-hmm. right, and you start seeing what a certain price point gets you size-wise, you know, and then now there's that whole clarity versus color.
Four Cs,
right? And then you'd be shocked that when you're like, oh, I want to spend, let's say, $10,000 or $15,000, the stone can potentially be rather small. Yeah. And you go, how much does that cost? And it doesn't look like it necessarily would cost that much.
I know. And that's like perception is everything.
Perception is everything.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, you know, I'll see people sometimes with like a 5 or 6 carat ring and you nice. Could be less than what a 2, you know, you learn these things, which are a 5 or 6 carat could potentially be less than what a 2 carat is based on the 4 C's.
I mean, that's a broad spectrum. Okay. But yes, to your point, the 4 C's really do measure how diamonds are priced. Every little inch you give or take can affect the price by 20%. So if you go up in color or you go down in clarity, you're going to see a difference in the price. So at the end of the day, when we're pulling stones for a client, we're sticking to the budget.
Okay.
And we're pulling a number of things within that budget. So some stones may be bigger in size or in carat weight, which is how we measure it, but they might be lower in clarity. And so we kind of sit with the client and first of all, give them the download on what the 4 C's really are and how they affect the price. And then it's up to them to choose the stone that's really speaking to them. So it does come down to your own eye and your own taste based on what you like.
So like most men, let's say I don't have much of a clue of what I'm doing, but mm-hmm. I know I want a rectangular stone, right? So,
okay, like an emerald.
Let's say emerald, sure, okay. Or radiant, right? Would be similar, no?
Similar,
okay,
yeah.
So emerald or radiant, right? How do you then go from there?
So we'd look at your price point. We'd pull, let's say, 7 to 10 stones, mm-hmm. and we'd sit and walk through each one. So all of our stones are GIA certified, so they come with a little certificate explaining those 4 C's. And we'd compare and contrast and kind of like – shopping for shoes or shopping for a new dress, you're trying it on, you're putting it in, this is called a semi-mount. So if here's a rectangular shape, which works out well, we throw the stone in here, put it on my finger, his finger, whatever, so you can get a sense of what it would look like in a ring. And we use these as examples so they can envision it in the setting, whether or not this is the setting we want.
Sure,
everything
sure.
at the end of the day that we do is custom. Mm-hmm. We build our rings for the stone itself because the stone is what you're paying for.
Sure.
That's what she's looking at. So you want to make sure that when you're handcrafting a ring, that it's of the utmost perfection.
So now, right, I'm looking at these rings we have here on the table.
Yeah.
So, like, walk us through.
Sure.
Which one's which here?
I brought two examples. We have a classic round zone. So rounds have always been and probably will always be the most popular at the end of the day. So this is in a pave setting, three-row pave setting in rose gold.
Meaning that there's diamonds wrapped around the
exactly,
band.
And they're really smooth to the touch and small. And then center round stone. And that's about 1.5 carat.
Gotcha. And I have to ask, like, what does something like that retail
for? So that one, and again, it all goes down to clarity, color. Sure. This one happens to be a really nice stone. So I would say it's around 15,000.
Okay. And then. That is a way bigger one.
A little bigger. Yeah, so this is about 5 carat.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And like the light right now is like jumping all over, which is great. And this is a 5 carat pair. Also, diamonds on the side, split chink, really popular. And you really see how the prongs are made to fit the stone.
Sure.
Split chink kind of enhances the diamond. It's a really popular setting right now. So,
and then, of course, I have to ask, what does something like that retail for?
So that's about $85,000.
Okay, cool.
So now, it's not sold. So if anyone wants it,
so now,
let me know.
When potentially, right, just because this is a business podcast, mm-hmm. right, and we always talk about sale, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes in and goes, my budget is 15,
yep.
I'm of the belief that when people say 15, really you were somewhere, you know, I wouldn't show them something that's 85,000.
Of course.
But 15 to 25 is probably more within the range, or 15 to 20-ish.
Yeah.
There's always, I feel, you know, there's a little cushion.
There's a little give and take, because to your point, guys come in really not knowing anything.
Sure.
So they might say their budget's 15,000 and they're like, this is not what I expected. Either way, bigger stones, smaller stones, this is just not what I expected for 15,000. So it takes a while to get educated and to
learn
about
diamonds. So my first reaction is, this is beautiful.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
But I want it bigger.
Okay.
So now then we could go and say, like, I want 2.5 carats, but I'm willing to cut some of the 4Cs down
exactly.
in exchange for size.
But then, so then we'd go through, bring in some more round stones, and you may say, oh, wait, I thought I wanted to cut in certain places, but I'm seeing, like, what I'm losing in the stone.
Gotcha.
So when buying a diamond, never buy online. You have to see what you're getting.
Seems like a weird purchase to make online.
I don't understand.
I think there's certain things I buy on Amazon, right? Like storage bins. You saw me unpacking a bunch of stuff I ordered off Amazon. One was a garbage can.
Totally,
right? Like, totally appropriate for Amazon.
Purchase.
Or an online purchase, like clothes to return. What do you do, like, for people who are thinking about buying a ring online? Mm-hmm. It seems like a hard item to even return.
Yeah, I have no idea,
like,
how
you know
return
what I mean?
Policies work.
Yeah, it just seems such a weird, not to mention like a massive investment. It's not even like, because at least if you're buying a Rolex, right? Let's say you want a Daytona, stainless steel Daytona from, you know, a well-reputable, you know, watch retailer online, I think that that's a much safer purchase.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're buying.
Totally.
Whereas with a ring, it's a one-off.
And also what's really interesting about diamonds in particular, I mentioned earlier, the GIA certificate. The GIA certificate really does tell you a lot, but it doesn't give you the whole picture.
Sure.
So you can look at a GIA cert and it'll say it's an SI1, which means it's slightly included. And that's pretty good. But it doesn't necessarily tell you where that inclusion is. Mm. So there's a little map and you can see it.
Sure.
But like, you really need to see it with your eyes and you need to see it with a loop because it's a scale. So there's SI1, SI2, but there are stones that could be at the top of SI1 or the bottom of SI2, and you just don't know. So you just have to be really, really careful when you're buying online.
So in preparation for our chat today, right, is it a little research online so I have a question for you from what and I'm always curious about the buying habits of Gen Zers and millennials because I mean, I'm older than that generation, but ultimately that's the generation that I'm now selling to. Specifically now Gen Zers are starting to come of age to be married, and I forgot what I put in, but it was like I put Gen Zers buying patterns diamonds,
let's say, right?
And some of the articles that came up were where these are sourced, right? So Gen Zers actually care where the diamonds are coming from.
Correct.
I know there's a lot with like blood diamonds and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So that they actually want to know the lineage of the diamonds. The other thing I thought was really interesting is that some of them are considering buying
lab grown.
So fake diamonds in essence, right?
Well, continue. I'll explain lab grown.
So I assume that's like, you know, you can get real cheese or you can get synthetic cheese. I kind of took it to the same perception. I personally want real.
Yeah.
My own thing. You know, I don't want the alternative.
We call them natural.
So
they actually come from the earth.
Okay. So please educate me on this. I'm curious as to why people would want that per se versus an actual real diamond.
And like I said, like there's a lot going on right now in the jewelry industry. So natural diamonds is like the tried and true when it comes to engagement rings. They are a billion years old. They're found at the bottom of the earth.
When you say natural diamonds, you mean
They are coming from the ground in a rock.
Yes.
I mean, if you Google what an actual diamond looks like in the ground, it's really cool because it looks nothing like this.
Of course,
like cutting, polishing, this is how you get that diamond. But it's as old as time. So that's a natural diamond. Lab-grown diamonds, genetically.
Lab-grown. Right, okay.
Genetically speaking, diamonds are carbon.
Yep.
Lab-grown diamonds are carbon as well.
Okay.
So really smart people figured out how to grow carbon diamonds in a lab. So genetically, they are the same.
Okay.
And to the eye, they are the same.
Really?
Like someone who's been in diamonds for 50 years with their eyes, with a loop, cannot tell the difference between a lab grown and a natural diamond because, like I said, genetically, they're the same thing.
See, I took it as to be almost like not a diamond. It was almost like glass, let's say, or CZ.
It is a diamond. Okay. It's just not a natural diamond.
Gotcha.
So it has become popular among millennials, Gen Z, because they're about 40% less.
But that was my next question. So if we're going apples to apples here, two carat, same color, clarity, all that stuff.
To your eye, they'll look exactly the same.
And it's 40% less.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct. So for an engagement ring, we don't recommend it unless you're someone who really cares about size.
Got it. Because then you can go substantially bigger at 40% off. So yeah.
Correct. For something like studs, get lab grown. You can save a lot of money and they'll look just as beautiful. So there's a give and take.
So many of my clients use diamonds as a store of wealth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that, you know, I know people buy overseas. They'll store diamonds here because or gold or Rolexes or whatever it may be, because they know that their country may be politically unstable and they want to have assets here that they can use as a resource.
Yeah.
I would think a lab-grown diamond would have less of a store of value inherently.
So when you walk out with a lab-grown diamond, it could be worth zero tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's why we wouldn't necessarily recommend
it.
But for something that you're just going to enjoy, like a pair of earrings, why not? You know? So you just have to educate the client on what they're walking out the door with. The natural diamond should retain its value. Lab grown tomorrow, I can't tell you what it'll be worth. No one can.
So I come in, right? We sit down. I may ask some of those questions. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we settle on a budget. Let's call it $25,000.
Cool.
We say, you then present me with stones, let's say anywhere between 2 and 2.5 carats within a couple of different ranges. Mm-hmm. And you'll educate me on that point and say, hey, this is what you're getting, pros and cons of both of these.
Absolutely. Here, we'll walk you through also, we have clients coming in saying, I know she wants either a round or a cushion. And we'll walk you through what are the areas you can save in and what are the areas you cannot. For example, with a round stone, they hide color a little bit better. So you can go lower on the color scale, but higher in other places.
Sure.
Cushions, they show color. So you want to make sure the color is high, but you can maybe go down on the clarity a little bit. So that's something we'll walk through and you'll see it. And if you don't see it, we'll show you what you should be seeing.
For uneducated people, is that because of the way the light refracts to the diamond?
It's the way the diamond's cut.
Okay.
It all comes down to the cut of a diamond.
Gotcha. And that in and of itself is an art?
Absolutely.
And science, I assume.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And now within each cut, right? So if you do emerald, pear, radiant, each cut will inherently have a different value as well, or no?
It depends on the market.
Okay.
So like right now, ovals are really popular, so they're harder to get, making them more expensive.
Gotcha.
Princess cut, which was more popular 10, 15 years ago, might be a little bit cheaper.
Gotcha. Yeah. So not necessarily as impactful as the 4Cs.
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now tell me a little bit more about what you do. So I've now come to the conclusion that I'm going to buy a ring from you. We're going to spend $25,000.
Can't wait.
That's good, right? So we place the order. I'm assuming I give you at that point probably a good deposit.
We take a deposit.
Yep.
We figure out what setting you want.
Okay.
Make sure you get her ring size. And we start making the rings. It usually takes about 4 weeks. All of our stuff is custom made, handmade in New York City. So once it's ready, we'll give you a call and you can come pick it up.
And pay the balance.
And pay the balance.
Of course.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Now, I see you brought some wedding bands here too, right?
I did.
So I would assume prior to the engagement, women are probably very uninvolved or at least not there in most circumstances.
It's interesting. Like, we have seen all types of couples and men come in through our door. Sometimes the woman is super involved. She's picking out the stone herself. She knows what the budget is and she's really in full control and he's there to write the check.
Gotcha.
Other times the guy comes in totally by himself and is 100% surprising her. So it kind of runs the gamut when it comes to that.
And then, so the purchase has been made, right? Mm-hmm. How involved then post engagement is bride and groom in the selection of what look like really
it's
nice
fun. Wedding band meetings are really fun because most of the time I'm meeting the girl for the first time. Hopefully she's telling me she loves her ring. Sure. We're looking at it. We're comparing. We're shopping. And the guy's involved in the wedding band process too because he gets a band too. So her appointment usually takes like 45 minutes and he's like 5 minutes, I'm done. I'm getting a plain band.
Sure.
Out the door, 1, 2, 3. So it's just like funny to watch them together. But what's popular now is a lot of women are getting wedding bands that kind of match the band of their engagement ring.
Now, what if they go, you want to go, I'm assuming these get a little baller here as we start looking for the bigger diamonds.
We brought some different designs to show.
And then something like this, right? So now she's like, I want a big wedding band to complement my ring. How does all that work?
In what sense?
So is she now involved in the pricing of this, or is that also, are most men buying these as gifts again, or?
We kind of see everything.
Okay.
There used to be real traditional rules, I think, when it came to purchasing an engagement ring, a wedding band, even like all wedding things in general. Like the woman used to pay, the woman's family used to pay for the entire wedding. There are no rules anymore.
Sure.
So sometimes she's buying the band for him and he's buying the band for her, or he's buying both bands, or they have a family heirloom that we're modernizing and turning into something that they can now have.
Gotcha.
So specifically with diamonds, and I don't know how you feel in the photography industry, but there are no rules. People do whatever they want.
I mean, for us, I feel like for most of the time, like 95% of my clients are not paying for us directly. Their parents are funding
their wedding. Their parents are paying.
Yeah, they may have bought the ring, but everything else is being funded by the parents, which is good
because we've had that
more
too.
Discretionary budgets.
Yeah.
I actually have a funny story. So I have a client who last year got engaged, and the mother goes, you know, do you love her ring? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, he was going to buy her a 1.5 carat, but 1.5 carats isn't good enough for my daughter. Mm-hmm. So she called the jeweler and said, my daughter needs 3.5 or 4 carats, and I know he could only afford X. So she pitched in the balance. And then when he went in, he goes, oh my God, I can't afford this. I said, no, your family's such good clients.
The upgrade is on us. That's a pretty significant upgrade.
I was like, you couldn't possibly have believed that.
I mean, I believe that story 100%.
Yeah,
you kind of see everything. We've had clients. I mean, for them, this is pretty much their biggest purchase when, you know, they're in their late 20s, this in a house. And usually this comes before the house.
Yep.
So we had a guy who came in, and he was writing the check for the remainder of his ring. And he took a picture and he was like, I have to send this to my mom. It's the biggest check I've ever written. And he was like so excited and so proud. And it was just like a really fun moment. So people, you know, there's a lot of expectations and a lot of emotions when it comes to buying an engagement ring. So we really see the gamut, like men who walk in and they know nothing and they just like want to get it over with and pick the stone and they cross their fingers and hope she likes it. We have other guys who sit in our office for like 2 hours, like looking at each detail of the stone and trying to figure out what makes the most sense. So it's really interesting to see how people react to something they never really looked at twice before. I mean, it is kind of crazy if you think about it, like a man is buying a ring for a woman when a woman has been looking at diamonds her entire life, presumably. Let's be serious.
For sure,
and he's never really paid attention to it. And now he has to drop potentially $20K on something he like doesn't necessarily know the emotional value of. Like it's just a very interesting industry.
So I like the concept of how they get to rent pieces for the wedding, right? Especially for people who may not come from a family where there's access to, you know, what we're looking at here, right? So how is a client made aware of that, right? So they come in to buy the ring and then I'm that guy, I get the ring. Do you then have that conversation, say, hey.
Absolutely, yeah. We tell them that with any purchase of an engagement ring or a wedding band, you get a free rental for your wedding. So you know, there's like the concept of borrowing jewelry from a jeweler, but not everyone has a jeweler. So sure. Not only do we serve our own clients, but we're able to kind of meet new people through the diamond rental program.
Awesome.
So when I'm, you know, talking to prospective clients, it's kind of a no-brainer that if you haven't bought your wedding band yet, especially when I'm talking to the girl, I'm like, by the way, you know, if you do your wedding band with us, you can get a sick piece of jewelry for your wedding.
Gotcha.
And then they come in, they see the quality of our pieces, and they start to learn who we are. Because at the end of the day, whether you're borrowing or you're buying, when it comes to diamonds, you have to trust the people you're working with. You have to see that the product is beautiful, it sparkles, it does its job. That's the job of a diamond. And that you're getting a good deal and wearing something really special.
So more so like to just change modalities just for a second, from a business standpoint, what was the – so I'm always curious about where this came from, right?
Sure.
And I love when people are doing different things in mm-hmm. that sense. So how did you guys or how did, you know, the owners come up with, hey, we're going to also include a rental program
yeah.
from a marketing standpoint, which I think is a great idea because it not only now do you have the ring, but also becomes a discussion point.
Totally.
The day of the wedding when it's like, oh my God, that's stunning. Mm-hmm. And then inherently the next question is going to be, where did you get it?
Exactly.
Right? Was it a gift or, you know, and they're going to say, you know, I got my ring at Verstolo and I also now – and wearing their diamonds, you know, so again, mm-hmm. it's, and then now those are in the pictures. And again, yeah. it's like reliving that. So you're keeping the name in focus. Whereas I think quite frankly, a lot of diamond retailers probably drop the ball with that because it's a single off purchase by the man. Woman may not even be involved. She may not even know who the diamond manufacturer
right,
was.
Right.
Whereas now you've opened up the door for the possibility of having legacy clients and also a broader spectrum is you're bringing that piece to the wedding, which now can be seen by other people.
Exactly. So the whole diamond rental concept, you know, I think it was like an obvious idea, but something that was really hard to actually put into place. So it took them 2 years to get an insurance policy to be able to do this first sure. and foremost. So
not to mention you have to carry the inventory to be able to do this too.
Correct. Yeah. So they were able to get a good amount of inventory and create this inventory, knowing that everything would be insured in case it was stolen, in case it was lost. So those things had to be put in place before actually creating the program. And the reason they did it was to really meet new clients. It's the biggest marketing tool for us
sure.
because I can then reach out to people who we maybe would have missed for the engagement ring and start that conversation with them about wedding bands. Because if you're comparing us to other diamond jewelers, they're not going to offer you a piece to borrow necessarily for your wedding unless you're a longtime client and they have that relationship with you because it's a huge risk for them. So our insurance policy really allows us to do it. And
ultimately, who's responsible for these?
Exactly. So we know that in that case, like we won't lose money. And the client knows that too. Because I have clients who come in and they're like, are you sure I could take that? Like, I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I'd be scared. So
yeah.
Like, honestly, like if I didn't
totally.
Own it, because if I own it, it's mine. Whereas I'm borrowing something.
Right.
It's like driving somebody else's. I'm into cars.
Exactly.
You don't ever really drive somebody else's car because if you crash it,
it's on you.
It's on you. Or it's just bad. You know, like,
yeah.
But same concept here is, you know, God forbid something happens. So if God forbid something were to happen,
mm-hmm.
This is covered.
Totally covered.
Okay.
It's actually happened once where one piece was lost. We filed a
was
police
that lost
report.
Or really lost.
Which I think it was lost. The client, it was before my time. I've heard the story a couple times. But,
as I say within parentheses,
yeah,
anyone's listening, was
I mean,
it really lost?
They were at a high end hotel and it was a big bridal suite and just disappeared. They were super willing to help us file the police report and were so apologetic. But at the end of the day, we got our money back and
sure.
they knew that they weren't out $40,000 for the piece that they lost.
Yeah.
We rent really big pieces. So the value
assuming,
is
just by
really
looking at
high.
These, they're not $500.
Then. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and these aren't even like
the biggest,
really big
yeah,
pieces.
The real crazy stuff.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So it just gives clients peace of mind. It obviously gives us peace of mind. And like I said, yeah, it's a marketing tool to meet new clients, get them in our doors, and they have fun, we have fun, and it's just an amazing process together.
Cool.
Yeah.
So just going back a little bit to your background in PR,
mm-hmm.
right? Making the transition over to diamond business, which, you know, is in weddings, but also obviously outside because you could sell this to anyone who needs or wants to give a gift or
yeah.
anything like that. What have you seen from your background in PR that you've been able to bring over to the wedding industry
yeah.
that you've been able to, I'm assuming, educate your owners? And they've obviously been open enough to bring somebody in who has a PR background
mm-hmm.
And not stick with somebody who is just in the diamond business who doesn't yeah. understand global scale PR. So mm-hmm. how have you been able to infuse your experience with them?
Good question. I think for me, especially within diamonds, honesty and transparency, that's what it comes down to. There's a lot of misinformation about diamonds. People really don't know what they're talking about. So education is so important from top to bottom. So I had to educate myself. I did GIA training. I'm still learning every day, and it'll probably be years and years and years of learning because there's so many nuances to diamonds. So what's been really fun for me is kind of taking my own learning process and sharing it with Versolo followers and my personal followers on Instagram. So in addition to PR, just like bringing diamonds into the social media world, which has kind of exploded with some of the big jewelers out there, especially in New York.
So how have you seen that? So, I mean, in our business, social media, let's just narrow it down. Instagram has had a massive impact.
Yeah.
You know, I think people say social media, really the, in the wedding industry, you know, no one's using TikTok right now. And all those other ancillary apps.
Yeah.
Facebook has lost a lot of its relevance. Mm-hmm. Really, Instagram is the platform right now that everyone is flocking to. So how have you seen people, let's go positive and negatively, use social media? And, you know, how are you guys using it to increase your traffic?
Yeah. So in my world, it's only been positive. Since I've started, we've made multiple sales off of Instagram, big and small. So it's a very interesting world, specifically within diamonds, because people want to aspire to something, right? So you have to show the 5 carat. The 5 carat's always going to be better than the half a carat, but the half a carat may be what the person is actually buying. Sure. So it's a fine balance of like showing the big, blingy, flashy, you know, collection that we have versus what's actually affordable. So every day I'm trying to kind of mix up our content between that, like what people want to see, with what people might actually be interested in buying. I try not to get like too into likes and comments and all of that crazy stuff, because I think at the end of the day, you just need to talk to people. You need to be telling a story. You need to tell them things that they don't know, and like connect with your followers. And it's challenging and it's competitive and it's overwhelming and stressful, and we all kind of live on our phones. Like, it very much is a necessary evil, but it's helpful. It's like, that's, you know, PR has changed so much over the years. You used to use journalists to tell your story and the Today Show to tell your story. Sure. But we can now tell our own story on our own channels and own our own voice, which is amazing.
So have you actually seen grooms, like, let's put, you know, like, I know I 98% of my clients are looking at our work on Instagram. Mm-hmm. They're putting, you know, hashtag top New York City photographer or wedding photographer in New York, you know, and all those relevant hashtags. Are you seeing grooms actually put in like engagement rings New York City and finding Versolo through that method as well? Like literally using Instagram as a resource to.
Not as much when it comes to grooms. I think with brides, women are always searching. They're saving content. They're sending stuff back and forth to their friends, whether it's an engagement ring or it's, you know, a little stackable ring that they're looking to buy for themselves for just because. With our clients who are like really buying engagement rings, like through the man, it's a lot of word of mouth and referrals. Yeah. I mean, the diamond industry is all about trust and knowing someone that you've worked with, they're happy with, and similar to any industry, specifically in weddings, like you really go by who your friends and family use. If you see success or if they've seen success, you're going to trust that you'll have the same experience. So that's probably our main referral source.
And for our brides listening right now, what is like the trends you're starting to see in diamond rings?
In diamond rings?
Yeah, like what's hot right now?
I think simplicity is really hot. So we're seeing thin bands, really a focus on the center stone. In terms of stone, rounds always the most popular. Ovals are really hot right now.
And do ovals go in like that trend category where emeralds, let's say, were hot 5 years ago, now it's ovals, but rounds are always the classic
stone? It all circles, goes back around. Like, for example, you know, 20 years ago, 3-stone rings were really popular, and now they're back. So you see a lot of 3-stone rings again. 10 years ago, halos were really popular. Now, not so much. Yeah. So it all comes
in waves. And a halo would be center stone round.
With diamonds around it.
I never, as a wedding photographer, I never see those anymore.
Yeah, you really don't see a lot of them. No. But they were huge. I remember 10 years ago, they were massive.
Everyone had massive. A halo ring.
Everyone, because it made the finger look better, but bigger. But now everyone just wants a bit. Yeah. Everyone just wants a bigger stone.
Which probably makes sense. If you're going to invest, it makes sense to just go with a bigger stone to start rather than.
It all comes down to taste. Yeah. I like a bigger center stone. I'm not a halo fan, but if you asked me 10 years ago, I may have had a different answer. Sure. Taste change. And that's also one great thing about diamonds is you can change it in a couple of years, and it's not a huge investment to reset a diamond ring. You can take your halo, take it off, and feel like you have a brand new ring, but you still have the center stone that you were proposed to with.
And then what are you guys doing differently right now, just from a business strategy standpoint, marketing standpoint, like in every industry? I'm assuming the diamond industry is like no other. Mm-hmm. It's way oversaturated, especially here in New York. There's a million, you know, people that can procure diamonds for you, and everyone has a friend who's in the diamond industry.
It's a very New York problem.
I have a cousin or my friend's friend.
And, exactly.
You know, meanwhile, he's like some shady guy in like a back alley of the diamond district, you know, who walks around with a bag of diamonds, you know. What do you guys do to stand apart from that, and how do you relay that to your client base?
I think it's our diamond rental program. I mean, we are the only ones who offer this service to both our clients and people we don't even know. Mm-hmm. So it's a no-brainer when clients hear that if they buy a ring with us, they'll be able to rent something for their wedding. And that really sets us apart. Also, the quality of our pieces. It's hard, like, when I don't have other pieces here to show you. But if you sit down and you really look at different pieces from different jewelers, you see a difference. All of our stuff is handmade. We are crazy about quality, and we want our pieces to last. We know this is a huge investment. And even if it's not a huge investment, it's something that's really special. Jewelry is, and diamonds particularly, they come at special times in your life, and they come at the happiest times in your life. You're celebrating a wedding, you're celebrating a baby, an anniversary. So jewelry purchases are really important, and they're really sentimental. And one day it's something that could be passed down from generation to generation. So it needs to be built to last. So that's, I think, really what sets us apart, is we really care about the evolution of the piece, where it's going to go. And we want to make sure it maintains itself.
And then in terms of styling, how involved will you guys get in terms of helping a bride pick something that's going to look correct? So for example, as a photographer, sometimes people will wear jewelry that is distracting to the dress, mm-hmm. or vice versa. It's mm-hmm. too simple for the dress, mm-hmm. or potentially, you know, they're wearing a insane gown with a massive ring, but then the net, it just doesn't, yeah, not, it just doesn't all, does work. Not, yeah, it doesn't work altogether.
I go to a lot of bridal fittings. So one of the services we offer with the deposit, we'll bring a couple pieces to your second or third fitting so you can actually see what the jewelry is going to look like with the dress. And that enhances the experience for everyone. You know, clients will sit in our office for like 10 minutes deciding, like, do I want this earring or do I want something else? More than 10 minutes, actually, like an hour, trying to figure out, should I go with the hoop? Should I go with the studs? Like, what do I want? Do I want a bracelet and a necklace? Is that too much? So we'll bring a bunch of pieces to your bridal fitting so you can really see what the whole picture is for your wedding day.
I'm assuming they come pick this stuff up before the wedding.
Yes, they do. So our process is really easy. Everything we do is by appointment. We don't do anything online. So clients come in, they see our full collection, they try it on, they play, then they put down a deposit to secure their piece for their wedding day. And typically they'll pick it up the Thursday or Friday before the wedding and drop it off the Monday or Tuesday. And if they can't do it, their mom, their sister, someone drops it off for them.
And then for your own, like, let's say your own path, right, that you went from PR and wanted to get into the diamond business. Mm-hmm. For someone who is interested in getting into jewelry, who may not have had a jewelry experience.
Yeah.
How did you wind up here?
Good question. How did I wind up here? I mean, for me, it's just pursuing like what you're passionate about and what excites you. So I grew up shopping with my mom, whether sometimes it was for diamonds, most of the times it was just shopping around Bloomingdale's, but I've always had an interest in the fashion industry, and I had the background in fashion and beauty PR, and I sat down and I thought about what's interesting to me, what motivates me, what's exciting. And the diamond industry, I always said, like, I wish I was born into a diamond family, because obviously it's a huge family industry. And I met the founders of Verstolo, and we talked and we sat down and chatted about our backgrounds and what we see for the future of this company. And we just hit it off. I mean, at the end of the day, people are people. They're not jobs. You have to connect with the people you're working with and figure out how to genuinely sell yourself, because when you're genuine, it'll all happen naturally.
Cool.
Yeah.
So for people who want to find you guys, where do they go about doing that?
They can find us on Instagram. Okay. We're Versolo. Check out our website.
Handle is V-E-R-S-T-O-L-O, right? Mm-hmm. At Versolo.
Yep. Or versolo.com.
Okay, cool.
And I manage social. So if you DM us, hey.
Cool. And so they will get you directly if they hit us, they'll hit you up on Instagram.
Send
cool.
me DMs. I love them.
And then one question I ask all my guests is if you could give yourself one piece of advice from 10 years ago that you could bring to the world today that would impact your life greatly, what would that be?
Interesting. I would probably say always go with your gut and be true to yourself.
It's funny. I hear that's probably the most popular answer.
Probably.
And I think people, and you know, I mean that,
but
I think people don't listen to it enough.
There's
you know?
Been a couple times in my career, both professional and personal life, where I knew I was kind of doing the wrong thing. Or I was taking a big risk, but my gut said to take me there.
Sure.
And, you know, it always leads you to where you're supposed to be.
Mm. Cool. So happy with what you're doing now, then, to say the least.
I love it. Cool. I mean, how could I not? Look at what I get to be surrounded
with. What woman doesn't want to play with diamonds
all day long?
And,
it has not gotten old, and I don't think
it
will.
And then you get paid for it, which is even better. God bless, though, when one day you have to pick out your own ring.
I know. I've been thinking about that because I get that question all the time, and I think it's even harder now because I just love everything.
Sure. All right. Well, first, I just want to take a second and I want to thank you for coming in. It was so much fun. I'm glad we finally got to do this. It's been a while in the making, and I appreciate all the insight you gave. I think it's something that's definitely from a man's perspective, and I hope guys out there listening to this appreciate it and find a value, you know, in the educational part of what we discussed, because so many people go into it blindly and there really isn't a lot of information on the buying process of engagement rings out there.
There's not. And my one advice, like my piece of advice to guys is don't get yourself stuck in the weeds. Find someone you trust, whether it's us or even someone else. Just trust who you're talking to. Hopefully they're not going to misguide you. And don't overwhelm yourself, because you can get so deep into it and kind of not know what you're doing and drive yourself crazy. But at the end of the day, when you're buying a diamond, you want it to sparkle, and that's all it has to do.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time. And I look forward to posting this one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Doing this has been an absolute journey and an amazing time. I have learned so much. And I want to thank you all for listening in. If you kindly would, we would just ask you for your support. If you've liked the show, if you've gained anything from it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the other platforms where you are viewing this. We would greatly appreciate it, and it means the world.